the name of our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Words that offer us a balm in days like these. I don't know about you, but when the stay-at-home orders hit, every day when I opened up the news, I started to get knots. My breathing would change and there would be tightness that gripped my chest. There were so many unknowns and it felt like the news was only more muddled and the projections of how long we would be home getting further and further in the future. The death tolls are rising, the cases are rising. It was hard. And we are an information people, we crave it. It gives us this illusion of somehow being in control. If we watch one more news story or read one more article, we can get our heads around what is happening. This time has been troubling to our hearts for sure. In this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus is gathered with his disciples for their final time together. This text from John is part of what is known as Jesus's farewell discourse. It's in the middle of the story where we come in. Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was to come. And when Jesus says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," it's after he has just said some pretty troubling things. He tells the disciples that one of them, among them, will betray him. And he foretells of Peter's denial of him once, not once, but three times. The disciples are agitated. And Jesus says, "But do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going to prepare a place for you. I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way." And then in good form, Thomas, he says, "How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is preparing to leave and he's sharing this hard reality of what is coming in his death and the betrayal by his disciples. He's offering not a scare tactic to his disciples with his words. He's actually seeking to offer them comfort, to offer them solace, to help them be ready. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All things are possible through me. I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will take you to me. I am making room for you. Trust in all that we have shared. Trust in our relationship. Trust that our time together has prepared for you what is to come. In knowing me, you also know my Father. It is through me that you have been able to see the Father. All this is part of what is to be." While Thomas is looking for a Google Map address to find the way, Jesus explains he is the destination. He is the way, and that Thomas most definitely does know him and the way. The way of which Jesus speaks is about a way of living. He has shown us the way by his example, a way of being, a truth rooted in love and a life that seeks this love in everything we do. We are invited to a place, not a mansion up in the sky, but a household of a family where the Father and the Son have extended to us the gift of the Spirit so that we too can be brought into the family. We too are brought into relationship where our hearts can rest easy. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Almost 20 years ago, Robert Putnam's book, Bowling Alone, sounded the alarm, warning of the harmful effects that the erosion of social engagement was having on our world. There was extensive data showing lower membership in clubs, less attendance in churches, and a steady decrease in involvement in volunteer and civic organizations. The title of the book came from the realization that more people were bowling than ever before, but ironically, a social sport played in teams, gathering around food and drinks and conversation, was being played alone. People were increasingly distancing themselves socially and appeared to be doing it by choice. Putnam argued that the markers of a vibrant society were dependent on our interconnectedness. This pattern of less and less social connection continued. But with the dawn of social media, many argued that social engagement would naturally return. Many believe we are more connected than ever before. And yet, many health experts declare that we are in an epidemic of loneliness, that it's plaguing our society today. Isolation has been linked not only to mental health issues, but physical ailments as well. In the UK, Theresa May, the former prime minister, had a minister of loneliness appointed to her cabinet to address the growing problem. In Johan Hari's 2018 book entitled Lost Connections, the author offers an in-depth analysis and investigation of the rise of depression around the world today. Through extensive interviews and exploration of varying communities and researching, Hari found a strong correlation between isolation and depression. His research showed similar trends to Putnam's, and within these trends, he began to see shocking jumps in anxiety and depression among every age group and in all cultures. However, there were exceptions. Hari found that some communities that appeared to have little or no cases of depression and anxiety, as he looked for parallels in these communities, what he found over and over again were a few key components. There were social relationships and people coming together and being known to each other. There were shared core values among the community and respect of those values. People had meaningful work and a sense of purpose. And people had a capacity to think of others' needs, not just their own. Together, all of these seemed to culminate into a strong community of people that felt connected and valued. If you read over those, they line up perfectly with what we understand to be part of the Christian faith and of Jesus' teachings. This made sense to Hari. From the beginning of time, humans have been creatures of relationship, and tribal living was the norm. It is in the woven fabric of our connections to one another that there is a capacity to thrive. Isolation is not how humans are wired to live. So strong is this longing for connection, Hari argues, without it, we can become sick. God created us for relationship and connection. As Jesus offers his farewell to his friends and the disciples, he promises that not even physical separation can break the ties of his love. Do not let your hearts be troubled. As I think about the past 2 months, this disease has held up to scrutiny the very way we do and understand just about everything. One of the longings of loss I hear most deeply expressed far and wide is that of close human connection, both physically and emotionally. Something that arguably has been slowly eroding away in our day-to-day lives is quite easily the loss that we have grieved the most. However, it has been fascinating and hope-filling to see the human spirit rise up in the midst of such loss and to create these beautiful ways to find connection, even if we can't be face to face. Every day, there are inspiring take your breath away moments that show us the triumph of love and the triumph of understanding ourselves as part of the larger story, a story rooted in love. Healthcare workers are throwing their lives on the line every day to serve the sick. Restaurant owners that can't open their doors to customers are feeding those on the front lines and donating food. Money is pouring in to relief funds to support those hit hardest during this pandemic. People have come out to clap and sing and dance, bang pans and raise a glad shout to show gratitude to all those who are serving. Hotels have opened their rooms to house medical workers who can't go home to their families. Neighbors are checking in on each other I've met neighbors I didn't even know. Families are growing closer as they have more time to connect. There's been a lot of bananagrams at the Fisher House. That frenetic pace that our world lives in and has to slow, we have had the space in this time to take stock of what really matters. Even in the midst of not being able to be with one another, there is a renewed sense that we do actually want to be in relationship after all. We value it more than we even knew. We do need each other. Life is better together. This time is reminding us of this truth every day. In our own particular community, the creative ways we are finding to connect are abundant. We have a beautiful Compline service 5 nights a week where our prayer life as a community is growing deeper every day. Our musicians have created beautiful music one thread at a time and woven each of these threads together to feed our souls in worship every week. Parishioners are helping one another figure out how to gather. No internet? No problem. You can listen through my phone. Hundreds of calls to one another reaching out or just to see if folks are doing okay. Taking food to those who can't get out. Learning new technologies so we can still worship together. Bible studies and small groups are finding ways to still meet, and they're doing it all on their own. There has been compassion, compassion, compassion. It has been in abundance. And our community is spread far and wide, and yet we are still connected. On the other side of this pandemic, no one knows exactly what the world will be like. But every single thing in our gospel story today says that where there is faith and trust, there is a God waiting to be the way of our life, to be the truth that speaks, and to be the life that is flourishing with good news. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Amen.